It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been studying the book of Ruth together, and I'd like to pick up today with Ruth chapter 1, verse 19. It says there, "So they too went until they came to Bethlehem." Now, this is speaking of Naomi and Ruth. Ruth had decided to go back to Bethlehem with Naomi. Let me start over verse 19. It says, "So they went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi?" In other words, the sweet one. The sweet one, Naomi, returns. Remember, the name Naomi means gracious or sweetness. All the city gathered about Naomi and Ruth, and Naomi's testimony as a servant of the Lord was still remembered by all, even after her 10-year absence from the people. Now in verses 20 and 21, it says, "And she cried unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" In other words, it was like she was empty. Emptiness. Mara means bitter. And at this time, Naomi felt that she had been afflicted by God. And we've talked about that, and I believe that she was doing what was right. She went with her husband, and now she's coming back. In verse 22, it says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabite is her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the country of Moab. And they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest." Now, the right season we're seeing here, the beginning of barley harvest. Naomi and Ruth left the land of the dead and entered into the land of the living at the right time. And this is something that we need to be encouraged about, because we're living today as Christians. We are living eternally. We will see our Lord, and at that time, we will see Him eternally, and there'll be no parting. Well, now we've looked at chapter 1, and I'd like for you to understand that there are certain things found there that really stand out. We find, first of all, doctrines found in the book of Ruth in chapter 1. I see, first of all, man. Man is seen throughout the first chapter of Ruth. We also see that sin is seen in the first chapter. In Ruth chapter 1, it says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man." Well, this is a certain man now. This is not a fable. A certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. We've read that. Well, this was Elimelech, of course, and this man was, and he led his family into Moab. That is, in a sense, leading them into sin. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, it says, "Wherefore, as by one man," and that one man is Adam, "wherefore, as by one man, as one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Elimelech took his family into Moab, and death passed upon them. We see this in verse 3, where Elimelech died physically, and then in verse 5, Mahlon and Chilion died physically. When Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Remember, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin." So we see what sin brings. It brings death. And in the case that we need to understand today, we need to understand that there is both physical and spiritual death. There is an eternal death, a total separation from God forever. Now, those people who trust Jesus Christ as Savior will live forever. They will have an eternity with Jesus Christ. But it's sad that those who do not follow the Lord, they do not receive him as Savior. They do not know him as Savior. There is only one place they're going to end up, and that is in hell and the lake of fire. That's very sad. It's worse than sad. Well, I see the doctrines found in Ruth are man's sin and death. This is in chapter 1. And then I see the theme of Ruth in chapter 1, first of all, is death. In Proverbs 14:12, it says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Elimelech thought he was doing right. He saw in himself and what he was in what he was doing, he thought he was a right man. He thought he was doing right, but it was wrong, and the end thereof was death. He was following what he thought instead of what God knew. But we also see the doctrine and the theme here. As we look at this, the doctrine ties in with the doctrine, of course, of death, and then, of course, God gives life. This ties in with death. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse 24, it says, "The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath." Well, who are the wise? Those people who trust Jesus Christ, they are the wise. And that's the way of life. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 28 says, "In the way of righteousness is life." Well, what is the way of righteousness? Well, that is trusting Jesus as Savior. Now then in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." Well, who wins souls? The righteous, those who have trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. In Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 31, it says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." Well, who hears the reproof? Who's really listening? Well, it's those people who trust Jesus Christ as Savior. If you've never done that, you need to trust Him today to save you so you can go to heaven. I want to see you there one day, and I want to rejoice with you. Well, we now look in Ruth chapter 2 and verse 1. We see the kinsman. It says there in verse 1, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz." Well, Boaz, the name means strength. The Bible does not tell us how Elimelech and Boaz were related, but a good guess is that they're cousins. So the Jews considered relatives who are second cousins to be immediate family. And by looking forward to Boaz's genealogy in chapter 4, verses 18 through 22, we observe the source of his wealth. Well, the father of Boaz is Salmon, according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. And it says there that Salmon is married to Rahab. And this is the former harlot in Joshua chapter 2. It says in verse 5 of Matthew 1, "And Salmon begot Booz," and that is Boaz, "Booz of Rachab," and that's Rahab, and Boaz and Booz begat Obed of Ruth, and Obed begat Jesse. Well, the grandfather of Boaz was Nahshon, according to Numbers chapter 2. And he was the prince of the tribe of Judah, according to 1 Chronicles chapter 2 and verse 10. And I'll not read those right now, and I would have confidence in you that you'll write some of these verses down, and you'll go back and look at some of these verses that we're talking about. If you can't write these down, go to our website, lrwm.org. You'll find this program on there and this lesson. And also, it's agoodliferadio.com. All of these lessons are on those websites. We also read that Boaz's great-grandfather was Amminadab. And when we look through the book of Ruth and we get down to the part that talks about the genealogy, and we'll look at some of those genealogies, and we'll see how it led to a certain individual. Let me remind you once again that the book of Ruth is God's message of love. Well, Boaz and Christ share at least three things in common. Boaz is a kinsman redeemer, and so is Christ. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 24 says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb, I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. We see also in Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 4 where it says, as for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, for the Holy One of Israel. If you study the Word of God, you know that the Holy One of Israel is none other than Jesus Christ. He is our Redeemer, and those of us who have trusted him as our Savior. Well, Boaz is a mighty rich man. He had wealth, and you know, so is Christ. In Psalm chapter 50, verses 10 and 11, it says, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Well, how is that possible for Christ? I'll tell you how it's possible, because he's the Creator. He's not only the Son of God. He not only came in the flesh as a man, but he is God. And the Bible says and teaches us that all things were created by him and for him. And you need to read the book of Revelation that tells you that all things were created for him and by him for his glory. Well, we would look at several things about Boaz, and he's from Bethlehem, and so is Christ, according to Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1. Well, then we look at Ruth chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, and it talks about the gleaner. It says, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. Now there's nothing wrong by there's nothing wrong here, and there's nothing by chance with God. Ruth, I believe, had no idea that Boaz owned this field because she said, by hap. In other words, perhaps God will place me in the place that I need to be so that I can find what God wants me to have. Well, it says there that it was provided for her that she should go into the field of Boaz. We see here that Ruth was gleaning. Ruth understood about the biblical principle of gleaning. In Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 21, it talks about the Leviticus standard here in 19, verse 9 and 10 of Deuteronomy talk about that. And we look at that and we can see in those verses that gleaning is an example of God's providential care. He takes care of us just as he takes care of the fowls of the air. They don't sow or reap, but God takes care of them, and he'll take care of you and me, and if we let him and if we listen to him. Well, notice that gleaning always depends upon a person's willingness to work. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. Well, let me look at it like this with you. Let's not think of it as simply physical labor, but let's look at it like this. Work in searching the Scriptures. Now, we'll pick up here next time when we continue our study in the book of Ruth. Serve him today. If you are not saved, you can't serve him. You need to get saved. You need to ask him to come into your heart. Turn to him. Let him save you. And if you are saved, you need to be living for him and telling others about Jesus Christ.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.